Kia ora, everybody. Thanks so much for coming. What a huge crowd. This is, we were anticipating the numbers. We weren't sure how big or small it was going to be, but it looks about right. So thanks all for turning up. Just a couple of little notes from me. First one, because it's in my hand, is some information just out the back there when we go out for refreshments about keeping our Māori wards. So please go out and engage with them. And understand what you need to do when you get your election pack, or if you haven't quite received it, or hopefully you can go and find it in the mail and change it if you've forgotten to tick the box. So my name is Craig. I'm part of the Rainbow Wellington board. I'm also the person organising the Wellington Pride Parade, and love our rainbow communities so much. I think we're a great diverse bunch, especially down here in Wellington, and it's great to be able to MC tonight. Just some health and safety for you. If there's an earthquake, this building we're actually in Engineering New Zealand's building, and so it is very well over-engineered. There's little weird little contraptions down in the far corner that actually measure this building, like, live, and it can tell you about, like, the shakes and all that kind of stuff. So we're in a very over-engineered building, so we are good. But if there is an emergency, stop, grab under the tables out there if you need to, but we will be safe. Yeah, these cracks are actually fine. Cracks are good. Son of an engineer, so I do know what I'm talking about. We are recording tonight, so this goes on to our archives, which is Gareth has been doing for a long time, so thank you, Gareth, for doing this, Mahi. Tonight I'm going to ask a couple of moderated questions, so they've seen these questions, so they will give really nice, short, sharp, direct answers. There will be no waffling tonight. 18. Yeah, they've all been given, there's a timer that is going to give them 50 seconds to give their response and then 10 seconds to wrap that up. And if they don't, there's serious, serious consequences. At the end of that, there will be some quick fire questions that I've got, and we'll be giving out these little rainbow flags, and all they have to do is wave the rainbow flags. If you ever want to catch a picture of one of these guys, people waving a rainbow flag, that's your opportunity. And then there'll be an opportunity for you to give some questions if you have them. Again, I ask that you keep those really sharp and succinct. So if you've got a question now, think, how can I summarise that down to something really short and sharp? I'll also ask that you come and stand up about where I am to ask that question. That's just so that we can see it on the screen, and it can be interpreted properly. So please come and do that. There is also a microphone, and we'll get you to use that, that will be travelling around. We're not going to go along the line and do the old boring who are you. We're just going to ask our first question, and they will introduce themselves as part of their response. So my first question to them is, and you will have all seen, that the Wellington City Council has released the Rainbow Action Plan earlier this month, and that was to increase safety and support to our communities. So I want to go down the line, and we'll start with you, Rob. Yep, Rob's printed it out. He said he hasn't read it, but that's okay. He's brought it along as a prop. What is one thing that you, what is one action that you will take as our new mayor to implement the Wellington Rainbow Action Plan, and how will you ensure that it is resourced and delivered properly? So you've got a microphone there.
Well, kia ora and good evening. My name is Rob Goulden. I'm a Wellingtonian. I have been for many, many, many years, more years than I care to remember. I love Wellington. I'm passionate about it. My background is 23 years in the New Zealand Police. I'm a decorated police officer, an army officer. I've served in Bosnia, Bougainville and other parts of the world. Been a JP for the last 23 years. I'm currently the CEO of my own security company, which I've owned for 8 years, and I do a lot of that. If anyone's interested in racing, we've got a race day up at Otaki on Friday. So take a lot of staff up there for that. You just repeat the question, and I want to answer that.
What is one action that you will take to implement the Wellington's Rainbow Action Plan, and how will you ensure it is resourced and delivered appropriately?
And I've run out of time. No, I better answer it. Look, yes. one of the just a skim read of the plan. I only got it in an email, I think, 24 hours ago, and I've been up since 4 this morning. One of the key things for the, I guess, the LGBT community, the many members of it that I talk to, is safety in the city. And I've got a perfect background, not only to, I think, help protect that community, and I don't mean mollycoddling, I mean make sure that they're safe the same as any other citizens in Wellington. So I don't have any issues with the community. I'm very supportive of it.
Great.
I was actually on the Pride Parade earlier this year with my good friends Mel and Scotty.
Awesome.
There we go.
Thanks, Ron.
Kia ora tātou katoa. My name's Andrew Little. I'm currently a lawyer. I've previously been a lawyer. Also a union leader, an MP and a cabinet minister. I've lived in Wellington for 35 years. I lived in Island Bay for nearly 20 years of that period of time. Lived in various other places around Wellington. But it's very much my home, having immigrated here from Taranaki. Very important that the council, the next council gets in behind the Rainbow Action Plan. I'm very keen to make sure events like the Pride Parade are well supported, properly supported, and that the council becomes or remains a strong voice for the rainbow community. And I think, like all our communities, make sure that when decisions are being made about resource allocation, supporting advocacy groups, is that we continue to support our rainbow groups in that way.
Thank you, Andrew. Tēnā koutou katoa, ko Alex Baker, tōku ingoa. I'm Alex Baker. Quick introduction. I was a chartered accountant. I worked at KPMG, which is one of the biggest consulting and accounting firms in the world. I also worked in the corporate finance team for a number of years before moving to Kāinga Ora, where I worked in strategy and investment, and then I became their director of sustainability. My role there was really focused on shaping the way that Kāinga Ora was investing. While I was there, we spent $18 billion on housing and infrastructure investments in a way, so shaping that investment so that we provided housing that New Zealanders needed in a way that was consistent with meeting our objectives to limit climate change to 1.5 degrees. I finished up at the start of this year and I'm running for council because I actually thought that Wellington was doing a pretty good job on its sustainability investments. I don't believe that the austerity type approaches that were being pitched are going to work for our city and are going to make Wellington to a place where my daughters will grow up and want to live and feel safe. So I stepped forward to do this. Safety is a key aspect of the plan for me, and I guess we'll have to talk about that in the next question.
Hi, I'm Carl Tiefenbacher. I own Cafe Ice. I'm born and bred Wellingtonian. But reality is, I think the Rainbow Action Plan is actually a really good plan. I think there's a lot in there, especially around safety, which I think the council has done a really good job of working with you guys and getting into place. I think KPIs are probably the easiest way to ensure that it actually goes ahead and is fulfilled. Your interaction with us is obviously the next important thing. So we've got to guarantee that we keep interacting with you and make sure that we actually get on with it, because I do think the safety issues within that plan in particular are actually very worthwhile working on.
Kia ora, my name's Kelvin Hastie and I'm not going to introduce myself. I'm just going to answer the question. So when it comes to, one of the key things I'd be really keen to see is a safe path around the city. One that, you know, you can kind of access all the main areas and it's well lit and it's well patrolled, so people can have a path that they know that they can come to our city and safely get around. I think that would be a wonderful thing. I have read the plan. I was a little bit confused. I expected a little bit more arts and culture in the plan, but obviously it was specifically targeted towards safety and those sorts of issues, because that's one of your primary concerns. So absolutely 100% all about more lighting, better urban spaces, that was in the plan, and better urban spaces, and all about just making a safe path for all of our communities for Wellington.
Do you think we could call the safe path the golden path?
Oh.
If okay. It's not paved with gold and it doesn't cost $200 million, absolutely.
The rainbow path.
Boys will be boys.
Yeah.
Kia ora everyone, I'm Diane Calvin. I'm here to add a bit of colour to the lineup.
Thanks, Diane.
That's all right. I'm also vertically challenged and I hate these stools. So I'm going to stand because I feel far more comfortable standing than sitting. Look, I one of the ones who's actually on council. I've been on council for 3 terms and actually one of the ones who signed off on the Rainbow Action Plan. So do I know it intimately? No, but there's a few things in there. And I've actually got a printed copy because I do print off our policies because I keep them on hand to look back and just connect with other stuff that we're doing. But there's 2 key things in there that I think are really important going forward, and even if we do reduce budgets, is making sure that our toilet facilities and our community spaces are non-gendered. And also I'm really keen to make sure our graffiti gets dealt with as soon as possible. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Diane. Appreciate that. Second question. Rainbow Wellington has been working closely with sports organisations to ensure that our trans and non-binary people are safe playing and watching sports. Rob, there's a mic there for you. If elected, what will you do as mayor to ensure it is safe for trans people to watch and participate in sports safely and attend events and council facilities?
I'm a rugby referee and that sort of thing, so that's part of the sport. I'm always of the view that those should be safe places for anybody. I don't think the I don't want to single out the LGBT community because I regard it as no different than any other part of the community. So whether it's the Pride Parade or it's sport or a sporting event or anything like that, everybody should be able to play safe in our activities around the city and fully participate without fear of retribution, ridicule or anything else. I saw a bit of that not far from here back with the Pride Parade with that. We'll call it a church. They call it a church, but yeah, wasn't impressed with that sort of thing. People have got to have the right to carry on their activities, so.
Great.
Yeah, I think making sure that at every council venue, at least sports venue or sports facility, it's very clear that all comers are welcome, regardless of gender identity, and also that the facilities, toilet facilities, changing facilities that are available are, as Diane said, non-gendered or unisex, that people can enjoy their sport safely and focus on the sport.
Internationally, rainbow communities and trans people in particular are like under attack, particularly from conservative groups who see it as somewhat advantageous to try and divide and conquer the population. I've been quite surprised actually since I've entered this race at the number of messages that I've received complaining about trans people in bathrooms and this type of thing. And I, so for me, like, yes, there is a piece of this that is about, you know, what these guys said. But I think actually also as a cis white man who does not walk in the shoes of those people, there is a role to be played actually absorbing some of the vitriol and diffusing it, because I can understand where people are coming from who are upset about these things, but it doesn't mean that they're right, and it doesn't mean that they're in a position where they should be able to judge people and pass judgment and make other people feel bad for who they are. So I actually believe that the position of mayor does have a responsibility to make sure that they actually act as a protector of this community and a facilitator of a proper conversation to try and overcome that divide.
To be honest, this is a bit of a difficult one for me, because I see in the report that basically Wellington is a very welcoming to the rainbow community in general. It's considered a pretty safe one. I don't see the difference between anyone that's of any community that's different to myself. So I don't see those issues happening. So obviously you guys see it a lot more than we do. So if there's issues that are arising, we need to deal with them. But what we would do in advance of that, I couldn't say. I mean, with the facilities and in the gender neutral toilets, obviously on new facilities, we've got to make that happen. There are a lot of old facilities which we would not be able to do that in because it's just not space, and we have to accept that. So then we have to find out another solution maybe that will keep everyone happy.
It's very important that the new mayor sends a clear message to Wellington and its communities that it's inclusive and supportive of all our Wellingtonians. When it comes to specifically protecting people at sports events, having been a dad and witnessed what goes on the sidelines, it is despicable. It really is. So, I mean, perhaps, potentially, we could look at getting someone from each community to attend these events and, you know, keep an eye out for bad behaviour, because, yeah, the behaviour is disgusting, to be honest, and it needs to be sorted out. There's a lot of bullying and a lot of aggression, especially from parents on the sideline. So yeah, I'd like to see, I think there's an opportunity to get community members to go along and maybe do a little bit of policing there.
Look, I think I come back to our Rainbow Action Plan, and I'm really proud of it. I think it works. It's highlighted a lot of things we can do. Getting back to the sporting facilities, which I think is where the question is, it's about, again, it's about that non-gender facilities, about having appropriate signage up. And also, we've also talked about, Council, the training of our staff there, appropriate accreditation. So I think that's where, as a council, that we can focus on.
Great. And Diane, keep holding the mic because we'll start with you and come back this way. So my third question, in the lead up to this election, I'm presuming you have gone out and done your research and spoken to a number of communities to find out what they were interested in and what's important for them and what issues they are facing. How have you engaged with Rainbow groups in Wellington, and how will you commit to connecting to Rainbow communities throughout your term as mayor?
Well, I suppose I'm fortunate being on council at the moment, and because our Rainbow Action Plan has just recently been signed off, that we've had, as a councillor, had the Rainbow Advisory Group come and speak with us. So I haven't gone out and specifically spoken with any particular group. I've got lots of friends and colleagues that fit right across the, our diverse city. But I think it's really important, you know, I don't want to reinvent the wheel either. I mean, I just think there's so much good work being put into our action plan that actually that's the great starting point that we as a council and everybody, you know, I think it would pass unanimous support from memory as well. So, you know, and that's quite rare in council. So I'm just really keen just to see us make sure that we can further that on as much as possible, as much as we can afford.
I started Predator Free Wellington, so I've got a bit of a community background in regards to also in arts and culture. I'm a recording artist, and I've been a band promoter and band manager in the past, which is very representative of the group that's here tonight. So I'm pretty passionate about those things. If I've forgotten what the question was, so I'm just going to rant. At the moment, we've got laneways coming here, and we've got these wonderful artists like Chapel Roan coming to our country. I would say, as mayor, I would say, Chapel, come to Wellington. We are the capital of the rainbow capital of the country, and let's get a festival similar to Laneway that we can bring some of these artists here and get something really going for the city.
To be honest, most of my interaction has been through Cafe Ice, where I actually speak to people, and I speak to people whoever they are across the other side of the counter and chat to them and find out what they need. So that's my main interaction. One of the things I really want to achieve on council is to have a lot more open council, a lot more collaborative council that actually deals with all sorts of different groups. I think there's issues with a hell of a lot of different cultural groups that actually get to interact with council at the moment, and that includes obviously your community. So I think really it's all about creating an environment where everyone feels comfortable to come to us. So when they have an issue, that we can actually deal with it and we'll listen to it and we'll actually work with you guys to get solutions to your problems, rather than actually necessarily having gone out directly to a group.
Thank you, Carl. I didn't finish my answer to the question about the action plan. For me, a lot of the actions in there did revolve around engagement with the community, and one of the key things to make sure that you're doing engagement properly is actually having an adequately resourced and capable engagement team. So that's something that you need to ask people when they're talking about cutting council services, is what impact will that have on the ability to engage with communities like yours. The reason that I picked safety as a key element was actually because one of my quite close friends and neighbours came back from a year-long cycling trip around Europe a couple of months ago. He came around to my house wearing like completely a rainbow outfit with a purple skirt. And what he said to me was he's just been all through Europe and all of these cities, and Wellington is the place where he feels the most safe to be himself. And I thought that was quite interesting, because I had a couple of days earlier had a catch up with Ella Lamont, I think, who put together the study on safety in the city, which found that I think for people who are members of intersectional communities, I think it was 1 in 3 of them had experienced sexual or physical assault while they were in the city. So it's very interesting that we're a place where people feel safe to be themselves, but also experience such a high degree of unsafety. And that is why I think that Wellington, if it really wants to continue to be a place that is the home of Rainbow community members needs to get its culture right around safety so that people don't experience those problems.
In the lead up to the election, I haven't formally engaged with the Rainbow community, but I think I'm reasonably well connected through family, friends and work, and maintain those connections just as a matter of kind of routine daily life. If I'm elected as mayor, I'm always very keen on certainly the more institutional forms of engagement, because I think that at least provides a useful channel to know what issues are and then channel those into council processes. But actually the most important thing is the interpersonal connection too, and I am committed to and would maintain those opportunities to to keep personally connected with the community, just so I know what's going on from people, you know, feeling the issues every day.
Actually, Andrew, you have engaged with the LGBT community, because I met you in a gay bar. Do you remember? Yeah. You didn't know that, did you?
See, wow.
The cat's out of the bag now. Actually, I'd never met Andrew. I knew of him, of course, but that's exactly where we met a few months ago at Mutual Friends. So that is engaging with the community. Mm. They've been my friends, Mal and Scotty. They're probably known to all of you for more than 24 years. I'm very proud to have them as friends. And you learn, I don't know how many people I've met through them that you can talk about business with, have sensible conversations with about all manner of things. So, yeah, I just don't have an issue with it. I realise you guys have got issues. I read in the plan that the mayor... can I tell you? The mayor is the patron for the LGBT community.
That's the next question. Yeah.
Well, yeah, so I'm answering it now.
Okay.
Because I'm next in the line. See, the bell's gone and I'm first in line again. Is that how it works? No, but
Let me ask the question and then you can answer it, before you go on. Rainbow Wellington started a long time ago out of homosexual law reform, and is 40 years next year. We celebrate that, so that's awesome. And for many of those years, the mayor has been the patron of Rainbow Wellington. And so my question to you is, how will you be one of the best patrons we've ever had?
I'd be the best one you've ever had. Honestly,
well,
seriously.
If you know Mal and Scotty, you could throw a good party.
Look, I've worked with gay people. I've had gay people working for me, gay friends. I don't see any difference. So if you can champion that, being the mayor is about being a leader. All right, and sorting what, obviously, the problems that you have, I would be happy, I read in the plan, to meet with you, your community, and representatives of it on a regular basis. I wouldn't have any problem with that at all, as I would meet with other groups if elected mayor. So, non-issue for me. I'd be very, very proud to be your best patron ever.
Great.
I think it's very important that the mayor is a major advocate for the community. I think in my time in Parliament, supported Louisa Wall and her marriage equality bill, and as Minister of Justice, got the legislation through expunging the old criminal convictions for people convicted of stuff that hasn't been a crime for decades. It was very pleasing to be able to do that. So those sorts of things are important, and it is about just sending a signal that Wellington is a safe place for the community, it's a good place for the community, and this is a city that celebrates the community, and I would like to be a mayor that is at the forefront of that.
Could I get a show of hands? Who thinks that Tory has done a good job of being a patron? Yeah, interesting. I mean, I personally, I find it hard to imagine actually being a better advocate for the community than Tory has been, so I almost thought it was a bit of a trick question. I probably would be taking a slightly different approach to this. I do totally believe in, again, what these guys have said, but I also think that given the environment of hatred that we're in, it's actually also important to have someone who's not a member of this community standing up and being being and calling things out as being completely unacceptable behaviour. I just do not believe that this is happening enough at the moment. So for me, I would be trying to channel the Tory type approach to standing up and being proud about Wellington's heritage in this space, but also trying to stamp any behaviour out that I don't believe is acceptable. And I feel like I've already delivered some of that on the campaign trail so far.
Firstly, I would treat you with respect and make sure that you felt comfortable in that we retain our position within the world of being one of the more friendly communities. I think that's one of the most important things, and I'd listen to you as well in action and fight on your behalf. So it's up to you guys to tell us what your priorities are and what piece of the pie you're trying to achieve, and then it's up to us to try and champion that for you. But really, I've got to take my guidance from you because I'm not part of the community, but I'm happy to champion it because I think it's a really important part, and I think there's actually real economic benefits to the city as well if we actually make ourselves the most comfortable place for people to come to and visit.
Being the mayor, it's in an ambassadorial role, so it's all about being positive and bringing people together. I would have to say that, you know, we are the rainbow capital of the Southern Hemisphere, certainly, absolutely. So we need to sell that to the rest of the world. I'd put on a party, like the Laneway Festival, as I said, and I'd invite people from all around the world. But I would not be Wellington's first party mayor. I'd probably be the second. Thank you.
It's an interesting question because I think, especially you just mentioned the 40-year anniversary, so it'd be really good to call to be the patron at that point. But my focus will be when getting elected is to understand is what is all the patron roles of the required of the mayor, because I believe that the mayor needs to spend a lot more time working with the council and getting consensus around many things. And so I think we have to make sure we manage the work load of the mayor and of the councillors appropriately. Now, it could well be I would be patron if you would have me, but there may well be other challenges on time and that, because I think whoever's patron needs to make sure that they can provide that appropriate time and support to the group. So I'm not making a firm commitment, but just because of other priorities.
Thank you. Now I'm going to hand you out these rainbow flags because we're going into our quick fire questions. Yes, no. So obviously yes, we want to see them waving, and no, you just keep them down by your knees. All right. Now some of these questions are a little bit silly. I may have slipped some of them in just because I really want to know. So, do you know, you will know, Diane, what TRAC is, which is the Takatapu and Rainbow Advisory Panel, who has put together our action plan or has overseen that. Do you commit to keeping TRAC the Rainbow Advisory Panel? Great. So that's six yeses from the panel. Great. Will you fully implement Wellington's Rainbow Action Plan if elected? Well, is it up or down? Well, we want commitment here. So we've got yeses from four out of six of our panellists. That's good. Like to see the honesty. Thank you. Do you support the expansion of gender-neutral bathrooms in public facilities? New ones or old ones? Let's ask that question twice. So in old ones... And so for putting them into, and looking at our council facilities that we currently have and putting in gender neutral bathrooms in those facilities. Yep, as they needed upgrades. Yep, and then to making sure that all our new council facilities have gender neutral bathrooms. Great, good to see everyone was on board with that one. Yep, they can have all of the above.
So they're going to have three lots.
They can do, yeah. Yeah, and that is, yeah. Would you vote to remove and rename public spaces named after historical figures with anti-LGBT rainbow or colonial legacies? Wakefield Street? So we've got no flags risen from that one. Thank you for your honesty. Would you march in the Wellington Pride Parade wearing glitter?
Oh, no.
not Carl. Yeah, that's it. Good. Wave them. So that's six yeses. There we go. Thank you. Would you support a Queer Eye for the Council Guy makeover show? A Queer Eye for the Council Guy? It's a TV program, yeah. For the mayor and all the councillors, I think. Yeah, we need to overdo. Do you own at least one item of clothing that could be described as fabulous? Carl says no, but everyone says yes. Carl, we can sort you out after this. Don't worry, I'm sure there's somebody here who will take you shopping. And then would you endorse a rainbow-themed Metlink card that when you tap on it makes a glitter sound? These are really important questions. Yeah, we've got six yeses from that. Hey, thank you very much. Now, that is the end of the rapid-fire questions. So if anyone has questions they would like to ask, I would like to invite you to make a nice little line here. And then we'll just get those questions up nice and quick-fire. So come and join me on over here.
Read the question about sport and talking about safety. There is the issue of safety and fairness for women if trans women get involved in women's sport.
We're not interested in that question. Yeah. No, it's actually not something we're going to entertain here. We're a safe space for our trans women. Questions that you would like to ask?
Okay, I'll ask this one. Do you agree with the Golden Mile and City Streets project, which is going to cost $212 million?
Well, for starters, it's not going to cost
$212
million.
Do you want to grab your mic? Just make sure the green button's on, you can talk. You just do a yes or no. Yeah, that's probably all you need for that question. Right.
Kia ora.
They all said no. Yeah. Oh, and Alex said yes. Yeah. Thank you. You've asked your question, so now we'll move on.
Kia ora. Based on your introductions, I believe that you're all straight, white and cis. Why do you think that this is all the mayoral candidates that we have?
Well, it's not all the mayoral candidates we have. There's 12 in the race at the moment. So, I mean, they've all got a chance, apparently. But is that what your question's about? Or
why do you think that there is a lack of diversity amongst candidates?
I have no idea. All right? Well, I can only speak for myself.
Hand the microphone over then.
It's never too late.
Yeah.
I think it's important for candidates, particularly for the mayoralty, to have an understanding of the city and all of its communities and all the people who make it up. And the mayor is the champion for everybody in the city. That's what the mayoral role has to be.
Great answer. I mean, clearly the political environment has become an unsafe space for young women and people with intersectional identities. We've all seen what happened to Tory. Like, even my ward this election, actually, I've been quite surprised at the absence of young women and diverse representation. I don't think it's good enough having an environment that basically stops potential young leaders from even entering the scene, and it needs to change.
My response when we were asked why there were all mainly men standing is exactly the same for this, is that I wouldn't care if they're all females up here. I wouldn't care if they're all gay people up here or whatever. I don't care. People choose whether they're going to stand or they choose not to stand. We chose to stand. I would have been more than happy to have anyone else standing with us as well.
Bring back Georgina Beyer and Bob Jones.
Well, as a latecomer to the mayoral field, and I was the first female to put their hand up, and it was not because of fear of standing for council. It was actually just the pure logistics. Somebody else has sucked all the money out of the city, and also I didn't have a big party machine behind me, so I did have to rethink about what I would do. So there's a number of factors, I think. If you're going to stand for mayor, you've got to have the expertise, the experience as well. So I just wanted, it's really important. It's about understanding the politics. So I can't speak for anyone else. I can just speak for myself. But I want to be a role model for my daughters and for my granddaughters. And one is mixed race as well. So it's just, there is a mixture. We may not look like it, but there is a mixture in our families.
Kia ora, this question might upset a very vocal minority in the room, so cover your ears. We talk a lot of big game about gender-neutral bathrooms and ask questions about trans people, but as Carl has so eloquently pointed out, that's not possible for every single council facility. Will you commit to make it council and municipal policy that trans women are allowed in women's bathrooms, trans men are allowed in men's bathrooms, and vice versa, equivalent for sports, equivalent, not vice versa, equivalent for all existing gendered spaces that can't necessarily be made gender neutral? It's important that you actually support us rather than just shoving us into gender neutral areas.
Try and do it.
Not at this stage.
No. Basically, I don't know the issues deeply enough and I don't know council policy, so I'd have to say no.
To be honest, I didn't realise that I don't actually know the ins and outs of that, so I can't make a comment on it really. Apologies.
I think yes. I can't commit that the mayor has the power to executive order the council to do that, though. So, yes, in spirit.
I think just make sure that staff aren't removing people from spaces is the most important thing.
Yeah, I think the overriding thing is safety of people. So, if it can be done, then it can be done. But if it can't be done and people feel safe, then we're going to have to wait till these upgrades and gender-neutral toilets can be installed.
Same answer as Andrew, to be honest. I think the only thing that, I guess, out of fear for many people is the issue of safety. And I think that's what we should always worry about for people. But, yeah.
Great, thank you.
So my question is...
I didn't mention men or women. I said
everyone. Rob, we're just going to ignore that comment.
So my question is specifically directed at Andrew. We all care about bullying here and the fact that it's obviously something that we don't appreciate in the community. We don't appreciate it from politicians. Now, regardless of the other politician who is not currently present, do you think that your behaviour at the post-debate was churlish, childish and unbecoming of a politician who wants to represent our city and especially champion for a small community like ours against bullying and bad behaviour?
So I had an opponent sitting right opposite me with a set of notes that were a set of attack lines on me and somebody who's going around saying they're independent. They're not. They're part of an organised group that is about launching malicious attacks, particularly online, and when they get away with it elsewhere. And I thought that needed to be called out, and I did.
Quickly comment on that as well. I'm with Andrew on that. I believe that he was well in the right space. And something that I find interesting is actually...
Let's just leave it. We don't need a total call. We can just leave it at that. Thank you.
May seem slightly obscure, but I hope people understand what I'm asking. Our community loves our cats. It also loves our dogs. And I worked in security and intelligence for about 15 years, looking at trends about why people get attacked and why they don't. And it's massive, the fact that people who have dogs with them are far less likely to get attacked. Now, it makes sense because the dog is like your super personal security operation running with you. I'd love to know if any of the candidates have a plan to make it easier for Wellingtonians to own dogs, particularly people on lower incomes, because it's often the lower income part of the LGBT community who are the most vulnerable and get attacked the most. And we don't always look at the reasons why people who have their personal security restricted just for economic reasons.
Thank you.
I don't have a specific plan, but I do think we as a council need to look at having more dog parks, if that's any use, because we don't have many dog parks that are fully fenced, and that's a safe way to be able to exercise your dogs and that sort of thing. So I know it's a bit of a woolly answer, but best I can come up with, because I don't have a specific plan.
I'd like to see dogs allowed on the trains at off-peak times.
No plans, no thoughts.
My only thought is about the dogs on public transport, actually, because that was a big issue for me when I had a dog.
No other particular plans on that. I think the getting dogs on public transport's a good idea, but there'll be some issues around that. Apart from that, I have no other specific suggestions.
Being a transport operator, and I was doing that today, I have no issues with dogs being on buses, for example, but the thing with that is they must be muzzled, which is important, just safety-wise. In a cage. You asked, I'll give you the answer. In terms of, I'd like to see dog registration fees go. We don't charge them for cats and that sort of thing. As long as animals are vaccinated, if they're, I guess, a worry and that sort of thing, that's they should be fenced in and that sort of thing. But I think dog registration fees, I don't think we need to charge those.
Great,
so
thank you.
I'd like to see a change in that policy.
We've got our final question from Hamish, and then I'll get Jules up to close with Karakia.
So it's not a so serious one, and feel free to, you don't have to answer this one. But I'm curious, especially for some of you, just saying. have you ever had a same-sex kiss at any stage?
Sorry, can you ask that question again?
have you ever kissed someone of the same gender?
Yeah, my father.
Good answer, Rob. Good answer.
And my brothers.
Yeah, right.
Hand the microphone on.
No. Rob and I shook hands at the pub. Pretty sure we did.
Would you like one? never with tongue.
Exactly, my dad, but not with tongue.
No.
Pass.
Other than family, no.
Right. Thank you. Thanks for entertaining me.
Thank you, Hamish, for that great question.
Before I close, we've got our mayoral candidates here who will be available afterwards if they're able to stay for questions and mingling. Also in the room we have council candidates Trish Given and Lily Brown, so they will also be with Joy.
And Dan.
If you are a candidate for the City Council, could you please wave right now so we know to come and ask you questions?
Amazing.
Done. With me. Haki roto. Breathe in. Haki waho. Breathe out. Kia tō te mori. E kuri kuri nei. E nā piki, me nā heke. Ko te rangi mārie, tuku i rapu nei. Tihei, Māori ora.